Jesus didn't have a problem with people that's in the streets. He had a problem with religious people.
How can I help anybody when I'm not even, when I was not even able to help my own son?
I would never do that. I would never do that. And I became that in a matter of minutes when they took my pain pills away.
And I said, I'm not where I want to be, but thank God I'm not what I used to be.
This is Faith in Your Recovery. I am Randy Davis. Welcome to the battle. Hey, we want to thank you for joining us on this episode of Faith in Your Recovery. We look forward to the story we've got to share with you today and hope you'll be able to find a nugget or more in this that's going to make a difference in your journey toward recovery, in your understanding of addiction and recovery. We appreciate each of our guests and their willingness to be raw and real. And it gets a little sloppy at times, but we don't worry about that. We want to be transparent. We want to touch, change, and save lives. We've been blessed to be able to do that. We're looking forward to today's story. Welcome, Harley. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Hey, looking forward to it. Harley, introduce yourself to the folks. Tell them a little something about you now, to where they can feel like, you know, you're in their living room talking with them.
Well, my name is Harley Golder. I'm actually, today is my 4 months clean. I'm just excited to be here and be recovered from, you know, or still in my recovery, heading towards the, you know, right path. And
4 months clean, you say?
Yep, today's my 4 months date.
That's fresh, buddy.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was your main drug of choice? What was it that took you down the hardest?
Heroin, definitely heroin. Yeah, fentanyl, whichever one. I mean, you don't know what you're getting nowadays, so really.
So how long have you battled with addiction?
Well, let's see. I didn't get introduced to heroin until I was like 17, but I started using real heavy drugs when I was about 14. My mom got sent to prison, so, you know, and my dad was an alcoholic, and he didn't want nothing to do with me, so I just kind of, you know, I had an older friend taught me how to cook methamphetamines, and it just kind of went from there. I was all by myself, you know, didn't have nobody look out for me, so I had to make my own way, and that was the easiest way I knew how to do it.
Yeah, yeah, such is the case for many. We've heard that story a lot, very interchangeable, very tough to get out of when that's what you grow up with, that's your experience, that's your culture, your home life. Yeah. So how many years total would you say you've battled addiction?
I'm 29 now, and my first time picking up drugs, I was 10, so.
19 years, yeah, thereabouts, I mean, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
And you say you've been 4 months clean. Is this the longest clean time for you?
No, my longest clean time was 8 months, and that's back before I had kids or I met my girlfriend. That was back in 2016. I had 8 months clean then, and then I was working in Wisconsin, actually probably one of the best times of my life before I had kids and a girlfriend. And I was working on the road, so I was just working all the time, and it felt great. But then once the job, I was doing hotel remodeling, so once the job ended, I came back to Indiana and couldn't get a job, so I just went right back at it.
Was it kind of the same people, places, and things?
Yeah, absolutely. Same people, places, and things. That's I've learned, I finally changed that, and that's what's kind of helping me stay where I'm at now. So.
Hooray for you. What is it right now, today, that you celebrate the most with your recovery where it is? I know the journey continues. You're not there. But at this moment, what's your chief celebration?
My kids. My kids are my biggest. They're who I know, really. They look up to me. But if it wasn't for them, I probably wouldn't be here today, honestly, because I'd probably be either still in jail or dead at the worst. So, definitely my kids and my girlfriend, too, because if it wasn't for them, I just.
How many kids do you have, Harley?
I got 4 kids.
How old are they?
My son's 1, and then my youngest daughter is 4, and then I got a middle daughter. She's 6, and my oldest daughter's 8.
Do you have custody or get to see them quite often?
Yeah, I get to see them 3 days a week, Tuesdays, Fridays, and Saturdays when we're real close to getting them back. So that's my main focus right now is to get my kids back. So
compared to that time when you were so involved with that addiction, 3 days a week of you being present.
Yeah, I wasn't getting to see him when I was strung out. I wasn't getting to see him at all. So I missed my son's first birthday. I missed Christmas. I missed Thanksgiving. I missed a lot, and that's time I won't get back. So it's like, you know,
you can't get it back, but you can start it anew and be a father who is present,
absolutely,
a father who supports. Well, hooray for you. Those are big steps. What do you attribute that to? How is it that now you've been able to hold on for 4 months to stay away from that meth and fentanyl, whatever?
Yeah, I mean, really, I mean, it's all about them. I mean, and my girlfriend, because I owe to them. You know, I've been with my girlfriend for 8 years now, and a lot of my relationship, I've been either locked up, strung out, just selling drugs. I mean, I just wasn't real. I was there, but I wasn't there. You know, so it's. I give my biggest shout out to is my girlfriend and my kids. So,
what was it during those 19 years? Give us a couple of your low points where you felt there was no going up.
Well, see, my first time going to jail, I was 18. I did 6 months. I got out like a week after my birthday, which is in September, okay, so I got out September 28th, and then like 2 weeks later, my dad passed away, and he was in Arizona, so I didn't get to really have no closure or nothing with him, and I was on probation at the time, and I hit rock bottom, I overdosed, since I was on probation, they violated me for a dirty drop. I went back to jail again, and then I had to do the remainder of my probation time. I got out, and then that's when I went to Wisconsin for 8 months, and then right back at it once I came back from there. So,
had you had any true connection with your dad over the years before he passed?
Not really, because since he was an alcoholic, and I mean, I feel like he should have been there for me more. But I mean, at the same time, since I was so deep in the streets and just running around, you know, doing what I knew how to do best. I mean, he had to look out for my little sister too, which, I mean, and he didn't, you know, I mean, I understand that. So, but at the same time, he was a belligerent alcoholic. So, I mean, he liked to, you know, get physical or whatnot. So I just kind of, you know, we just never really seen eye to eye. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
absolutely. And when that relationship becomes toxic, dangerous for either one of you, it's best to stay away.
Yeah. And
to work with it from a distance until you can come closer.
Yeah, because the first year my mom went to prison, maybe the first, probably year and a half, at first she was staying with my mom's husband at the time, and then finally him and my mom split up, and that's when my little sister went with him. And by that time, yeah, it was just, you know, but I mean, I used drugs with my dad and things too. So, I mean, you know, just like with my mom, we were more of, I mean, she always made sure I was fed and housed me, you know, had clothes on my back. But at the same time, we had more of a friendship than them being parents to me. So, I mean, I used to sell my parents drugs, get high with my parents, you know. So, I mean, I don't blame them for my wrongdoings at all, but it just, I don't know, because, I mean, my grandma's the one who raised me, really, because when my mom and dad had me, I mean, they were just, since he was an alcoholic, and he worked on the road, their relationship was real rocky. So, I stayed with my grandma most of the time until I was about 8 or 9, and that's when she passed away, which was back in 2005, and then we moved to Portland, so, because I used to live in Red Key when I was just a little guy.
Okay, so this has been intergenerational.
Yeah.
It's been just your growing up experience, it sounds like.
Yeah.
So to you, it almost had to seem normal to be in these kind of behaviors because that's what you saw the most.
Yeah.
And so it's easy just to slide into that kind of lifestyle. Is that correct?
Yeah, product of your environment, basically. I mean, you see what, I mean, everything going on around you, if that's the kind of things going on around you, most of the time, or most likely, that's what you're going to fall into. I mean, because my brother went to prison before my mom, and he was about 19. And so, I mean, I looked up to him at the time, you know, and I never hung out with kids my age. I always hung out with the older crowd. So I was always into mischief stuff. You know what I mean? I was always out partying at such a young age. I mean, at 11, I had a, it was one of my big traumatizing moments. I shot my cousin. It wasn't on an accident, but it still did a lot to me. I did a little bit of juvenile time over it. But I mean, after that, I just kind of, you know.
You know, just so you understand, I too am from Red Key. I just live a mile north of town there. And I remember seeing the names at different times and some of those struggles. But I'm glad you're here today and thankful you got 4 months under your belt. I know that's just a start.
Yeah.
But if you don't get 4 months, you can't get six, you
right.
can't get nine, you can't get 12. You're on the way. Make sure
yeah.
you stay on that path.
Yeah.
What is it that made you think you were worthy of recovery? What was that lights on moment like?
Well, to be honest, back in January of this year, the beginning of this year, I caught a dealing case. So, I mean, and my kids had already been taken before that. So once I hit that jail cell and they told me my charges, I was like, I gotta make a change. I got to do something. I got to, even if I don't want it for me, I got to want it for my kids. You know, my kids and my girlfriend are my biggest supporters, honestly. So, I mean, that was
You
that
want
was
it for them until you can want it for yourself.
Yep.
And if that's what it takes to get it started, no shame in that game.
Yep.
You got to stay at it. What was it like being Harley in those early years, in those years of addiction and struggle? Was there homelessness involved?
I mean, a little bit, yeah. I mean, for the most part, I had a girlfriend at that time, too. Like, she was my, I guess you would want to call her my high school sweetheart or whatever. I was with her from the time I was 14 until I was 19. So, I mean, we literally split up when I went did my first little bit of county time. You know, after that, you know, we just went our separate ways, so.
What? Who was the first person to try to get through to you of the direction you were headed to try to get you to turn around? Who's that role model in your life that was a positive influence?
My girlfriend, Lissy, for sure. She was always trying to get me to, you know, do the right things, but I'm stubborn, hard-headed, you know. I don't want to listen to nobody. I don't like authority, so.
You talked earlier about your dad being belligerent,
yeah.
So you've inherited
a little bit of that
behavior,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I can say though, alcohol was never my strong point at all. That's what he died from was thrust to the liver. So, and then once he was in Arizona when he died is why I didn't get to have no closure with him. So, I mean, he was cremated and all that, and he just, you know, I mean, he was there, but he wasn't. He was always usually drunk or at work, you know what I mean? And even when I was little, I seen him beat my mom up a lot, you know, black her eyes, break her nose. I mean, all kind. I just, you know,
yep.
So
yep.
I just kind of frowned upon him sometimes. But, I mean, your dad's your dad, you know, you can't change that, so.
That's right. What would you tell him right now if you could have a cup of coffee with him?
That's a hard question.
I'm sure.
I just tell him I love him, and I know he would, you know, right at this point in my life, he'd be proud of me. I know that, so, and I wish he was just here to get to enjoy his grandkids. That's, I mean, other than that, I don't know.
No,
I miss him, don't get me wrong, but, you know, yeah, I just know he's missing out on getting to have these grandkids in his life, so, but.
That's a tough thing to deal with, that disappointment, that hurt, and everything that goes with it, the struggle it's caused you, the battles it's, you know, it's created for your life and everything else with it. Who was that person before Lissy, before your girlfriend, that was somebody you knew you could count on that would give you direction and guidance? Did you have that person, or did you know anybody like that at that time?
In a way, but at the same time, you know, they were trying, I guess, I got a brother that's, he's not blood, but he's still my family, you know, and he's been my brother since the day I met him, and he was doing the same things that I was doing. He was just another person I looked up to a lot, but he always tried to get me to, you know, see the brighter side, you know, told me just to, tried to stay out the way, but, you know, seeing them do it, you know, I just thought it was cool, so it was like, you know, if you're doing it, you know, why is it wrong for me to do it, you know, so,
I mean. It sounds like he was the kind, and my dad was good at this, the kind who believed, do as I say.
Not as I do, yeah.
Not as I do.
I tell my kids that all the time, literally, almost every visit I have with them. For instance, the other day, one of my kids, she was talking about somebody getting in trouble or somebody doing something wrong, and she's like, oh, well, I'll tell them, and I'm like, no, you don't, as long as it's not, you know, hurting their well-being, or, you know, if it doesn't involve you, just stay out of it, you know, and so, but, I mean, she's having a little bit of a hard time. I wouldn't say she gets in trouble at school, but I don't think she likes authority either, because she'll laugh at, you know, discipline, basically. You know, if she gets in trouble, she thinks it's funny, she'll roll her eyes, you know, she just, and I'm like, she's like, or she'll hit me with something like, oh, well, that's what you did, or this is what you do, and I'm like, well, you don't do, you know, say as I, you know, like you said, don't do as I do, say as I do.
Yeah,
know?
And it's just the idea as well, two wrongs don't make a right.
Yeah, absolutely.
I was wrong when I did it.
Yeah.
You're going to be wrong when you do it,
absolutely.
Regardless if I taught it to you or not. And with that, we oftentimes go to schools and speak as a better life, Brianna's Hope.
Yeah.
And one thing we always tell the kids, regardless of their age, with every choice, there's either a consequence or a blessing.
Yeah.
And you've got to play the tape through, as one of our guests said, to see, is this going to be something that will aid you, that will move you forward in the long run, or is it going to hold you back? And you've got to decide where you want to be.
Yeah.
And we come to that point. We all come to that point at different times in our life, under different circumstances and all. What is it now that Harley is shooting for? I don't mean 9 months of sobriety being clean, or a year, or a lifetime. What else do you have for goals, Harley?
Well, I mean, getting a job was one of my goals, and I just achieved that today. So, and this
whoa,
was, this
wh- is, where, what?
The new Goodwill in Portland that's opening them up. I just got a job there today, so.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's big for you, I'm
yeah, absolutely.
Sure.
I've never had a real job, so I've always worked under the table or sold drugs. So, I mean, it's going to be interesting. I'm excited. I'm just ready to get the show on the road, if you know.
It's time to adult,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that's not always fun, always easy, but it's got to do it.
Yeah.
And, you'll be able to move forward that way and progress in so many different ways. So
yeah.
We'll trust in and pray for that it's a good fit to where you get your feet on the ground and you can find who the new Harley's going to look like.
Yeah.
What are you doing right now with your life to stay out of the drug scene, drug experience?
See, I try to hit a meeting every day. Every day I try to hit a Brianna's Hope meeting, whether it's Winchester's, Portland's, Red Keys, Dunkirk's. I try to go to them all, Albany's, Burns. Like you said, you got to play the tape forward. So I just think about my kids a lot of the time and my girlfriend, you know, where if I mess up, where's that going to put them at? You know what I mean? Like, I'm not so much myself well-being, but there's, and I know my youngest daughter, she already thought when I because I've had an open DCS case for about going on about 8 months now. And before I went to jail, she hadn't seen me. So about for 6 months straight, she didn't see me, talk to me, nothing. So she felt abandoned. So, I mean, I just kind of, you know, like you said, play the tape forward and make sure, you know, I got to stay on my toes and just stay away from people, the bad people, places, and things. So that was a big jump for me.
How concerned are you for their maintaining their sobriety and not getting into drugs?
I think that they'll honestly be good because, I mean, they see that, you know, me, they know that I messed up. They know that I got to go to jail here soon, too. And, like, they know. They just know. I feel like they know that not it's, I mean, their grandma, their uncle, you know what I mean, their aunt. Because my mom, my brother, and my sister are all in prison right now. So, I mean, and I'm about to be there, too. So I think they know they don't want to be there, and they know people make bad choices sometimes, but and they got to pay the consequences for them. So as long as they just look up to me and know that I'm trying to change for them, that's all really that matters to me.
So it sounds to me like you're the link in the chain that's going to break past behaviors, or at least that's your thinking, your goal.
Yeah, that's absolutely. I just hope, I pray, that's one thing I pray to God for, is that my kids don't take any kind of path that I ever chose. I try to right their wrongs all the time, but, I mean, you just, especially in today's world, you just don't know anymore. I mean, you can't control everything, so that's a big thing I've been trying to work on, too, like trying to not control things that's out of my control, because it's not going to get you anywhere but worrying and stressing out and
that's
wanting
major,
to relapse, you know, so it's just like...
Whether you're in addiction or not, that's a major lesson, coming to understand what's mine and what's yours.
Yeah.
I can try to influence you, but twisting your arm isn't going to change your heart. I'd rather twist your heart and then let everything else follow. Tough question here, but what role does faith play for you in all of this, Harley?
Faith has been a big role. Like I said, as soon as I hit the jail cell this time, I haven't really ever been a big God person, but he definitely opened my eyes this time. Like, as soon as I got into jail and I started talking to my girlfriend and play after play, just everything just kept falling into line, and I just kept telling her, just got to keep faith. You know what I mean? You just can't let yourself get down. You know what I mean? When you get discouraged, just keep, you can't get discouraged. You got to keep moving forward. And I got to remind myself that too. But I mean, I just kept, every time I go to bed, I would pray. If I forget to pray before I went to bed, I would pray when I woke up. So, and just day after day, everything just kept falling in line. And it's just, I felt like if I kept my faith, and that's what it brought me to. I wouldn't be sitting here now. So.
Keep growing it. It's what's going to make the difference in the long run if you're clean for the rest of your life or you're not, quite honestly. It's where your hope lies. It's where your help is. And it, when I say it, I'm actually speaking to God. That's your biggest chance for success is through Him. Talking with a friend a little bit ago, and we talked about how we refer to God as our higher power.
Yeah.
And I think that's because we don't know who He is yet.
Absolutely.
We just know there's a force there.
Yeah.
That's helping us, that's making a change. Then we come to realize that force, that change is God in us through Jesus Christ and His Spirit. And then we can call Him by name instead of a higher power. I have no problem with the word higher power, but the truth of the matter is, I have a friend who says higher power can mean a cheeseburger.
Yeah.
And we know it's more than that, and that's what it's going to take to get us through this. So, yeah, what makes you think you can stay above all this? What makes you think you can get 6 months of Well, sobriety.
I mean, for one, I have to take a drug test every week to be able to see my kids. So that's one step. That kind of keeps me on my toes.
Is that a good thing for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I could do it without it, but it doesn't matter what
it
I do.
It holds you accountable, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it doesn't matter, like I said, it don't matter what I do or anything like that. I just always replay my kids in my head, you know, like you got to play that tape forward. And that's the first thing that comes to my mind besides my girlfriend, you know, it's just trying to be a better person for them. Cause if I'm not, who's going to, you know, I mean, I don't want my kids to have a bad background like I have, you know, I don't want them to, you know, go through anything that I've went through, and I've already put them through enough the way it is as of right now, you know, so anything I can do to make their life better is what helps me stay clean.
Amen. Stay at it. You know, one of my biggest fears, I only have two kids, are obviously at my age. They're both grown now, out on their own. I still don't want to disappoint them. I still don't want to let them down through my behaviors or my actions, create things that give them a bad name. The scriptures say that your name is more important than gold and silver. What people think when they hear the name and it's your name or it's my name or it's somebody else's, we immediately create opinions and ideas and ideals in people's mind. And I want mine to be the kind of name that brings a smile to faces instead of
absolutely.
A head shake.
Yeah.
I know about him, or I know about her.
And I know there's a lot of that, so it's like,
you can overcome it, though, right?
That's what I'm trying to do, so.
That's God's guarantee is your future. He's not going to hold your past against you. We're all broken people. He's not going to use it against you. He sees your potential and your possibilities before he sees your problems. And he knows where you've been, what you've done, what you've been about, but he also knows where you can get and who you can become. My desire in life for myself and for others is that they become all that God created them to be. So we work on that, try to make it happen, and give it our best shot. So what is it, Harley, that you want folks to know about you right now? Just speak your heart to them here, however that comes
Like I said, it's really not about who I was, but who I'm trying to be. You know, I just don't, like I said, I want people not to shake their head and think, oh, he's a bad guy. He sold drugs. He did drugs. Because everybody can change. And that's what I'm trying to be, a living proof of change, honestly. You know, so I just want people to, like you said, smile and, you know, say good things about me instead of, you know, oh, he's a bad guy because he's got felonies, or he's a bad guy because he lost his kids at one point in time. But I'm going to have, you know, I mean, I'm going to get my kids back real soon. And, you know, I'm going to just put my bad past behind me, and that's because that's where it belongs. I'm not trying to tread on my past anymore. So.
You're trying to climb that mountain.
Absolutely.
And when you do, there are times you slip and slide, and you go back down part the way. The key is not to hit the bottom, but to keep climbing to the top. I don't know if you'll ever make it there. I hope not, actually, but I hope you keep striving to get there. It's not a matter of getting to the top and looking down. It's a matter of always looking up to that top, climbing a little higher, going a little farther, becoming a little better, changing a whole lot more, and then influencing your family to do the same. 4 months clean, you said here at the start, and there are probably people already shaking their heads going, I never thought I'd see it.
Oh, yeah. That's all the time. My girlfriend thinks that, too, a lot. I know that. So it's like a lot of people do. I know it because they see me, and a lot of people know my past. So they're like, oh, he ain't. They probably don't even believe I'm 4 months clean. A lot of people probably think I'm lying, but all you got to do is look at me, and you can tell. So, I mean, if you see me in my past, you see me strung out, you know, this is the brighter me. I mean, if they don't believe it, that's on them. So
exactly. And I think you should have a certain amount of pride that.
I'm trying to, yeah, that's one thing I'm trying to do is still love myself, you know, try to give myself a pat on the back for accomplishing things, but yeah, I feel like I owe it, so I don't feel like I deserve that pat on the back a lot of times, you know.
Well, you're not done, okay? And, you know, you said your girlfriend feels that way at times, but I'm sure it's more of a, wow, look at you. I can't believe you'd be
here.
It's
absolutely
more of a supportive thing,
yeah,
where there are those doubters and scoffers going, nah, tomorrow. Tomorrow's the day he'll fall.
Yeah.
And I think, unfortunately, there are some who almost want that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I can guarantee that.
They don't want to see you out of recovery. They don't want to see you being successful because that kind of, if you don't mind this way of my saying it, it's like putting a hand in somebody's face and saying, hey, you can do this too.
Yeah.
And it becomes a challenge that many aren't ready to face.
Yeah.
And so we just keep climbing step at a time, and when we slide down, we dust ourselves off and start climbing back up again. That's not full and total relapse. We all have relapses of behavior, relapses of activity. It comes in so many ways, but we can make that happen. Harley, the name of our podcast is Faith in Your Recovery. What do those words mean to you? Faith in your recovery.
That's a hard question too. Like I said, you just got to keep faith. So, I mean, I feel like as long as I keep faith in myself and faith that I won't want to get, I mean, don't get me wrong. I get the urge to, I feel like I want to get high sometimes, but I'm like, I just got to keep faith that I won't do it. And, you know, faith that other people are looking up to me, you know, but I, like you said, at the same time, I can guarantee there's people out there that are bound to see me fall, because, I mean, most of the time, by now, I'd have done fell back, but, so, I mean, faith is just, I don't know.
Back to the alcohol you were talking of earlier, there's the old, you know, one day at a time, and if you can't make it one day at a time, chop it up in pieces and make it 6 hours, make it 2 hours, make it 1 minute if you have to. And it's that way with faith in your recovery. If you can get through one dark moment of temptation or struggle, you know you can get through the second one. Faith is the idea of a certainty based on past experiences, whereas hope is I hope I can do it, which expresses a tincture of doubt in there. It's as if you've never tried it before, but faith comes out of that experience of having been there, like our faith in God.
Yeah.
We can trust him. He didn't fail us yesterday. He'll not fail us today, nor will he fail us tomorrow. So we know we can put all we have in him. And that will see us through. What kind of advice would you give to a parent who is raising a Harley kind of child you were several years ago? I don't mean the Harley of today.
Well, I can tell you this. They frown upon it nowadays, but I would probably smack them around, but you can't do that nowadays. But, I mean,
there are ways to punish.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, you gotta punish the right way, I guess. I don't know, really, honestly. I mean, because everybody parents different, you know.
Sure.
So I mean, and kids are gonna rebel.
Would anything have worked for you at that time? If they'd have, you know, there'd have been a
honest. Like I said, you're a product of your environment. So honestly, at that time, probably not. Maybe locking me up, you know, but my parents weren't going to do that, you know, so, but.
And you could have built up bitterness during that
absolutely.
Time. And then Espresso, when you got out, just exploded on the world.
Yeah, but I would just, I mean, I don't, that's probably the hardest question you've asked so far. I don't know what I would do if I had a child that acted like me back then, honestly. I honestly can't.
That's all right. That's okay. And as you grow in your recovery, I'm going to guess that you will find the answer to that. We have a program in the jail, MRT.
Yep. I'm actually involved in that program. I started it when I was in jail for the 45 days before I bonded out. I was about halfway done for it, but I know she's about to start it April 8th back up out here, so I'm excited to be able to get back in that and finish it.
Yeah, Candy Sapp from our office leads that. She's qualified and certified to do it. It's actually moral recognition therapy, and it deals with those blanks, those time in your life that you didn't truly understand, helps you go back, dig into who you were and how that's created who you are today.
Yeah.
And it's a pretty deep thing, but it's been extremely successful, and we're proud of that as an organization. So we're going to keep at that and hope that it'll continue to make that difference. Harley, before we close here, is there anything that you want to express or share that we haven't touched on?
No, just thanks for having me. I'm glad to be able to share a little bit of my story with people. Hopefully help somebody out there that's in recovery or, trying to be in recovery. It's street life ain't no life to live. It's just not. It's again nothing but bad things for me, and that's what it's going to do for anybody else. Either going to end up in a casket or in a jail cell.
I was going to ask you earlier if you experienced anything positive from your drug time. You just gave us the answer to that, okay?
Yeah.
You know, the way you expressed how there's nothing that comes out of it that's going to benefit you.
Yeah.
Thank you for your honesty, Harley, your transparency, sharing with us. And, hey, thanks for attending.
Thank you.
Better Life Brianna's Hope. And I continue each Thursday to lead the group there in the jail. If you're back in there, join us some Thursday. We'll look forward to it. So, folks, just hang in there, hang on, and understand we've got another episode to follow immediately after this. We'll just need a moment or two. We'll keep everything running, so just stay with us. Go ahead, like, subscribe to A Better Life, Brianna's Hope. You'll help us in so many ways. We're glad you've been with us. God bless. Stay in the battle. Amen.